Mum As You Are is a place for self-compassionate reflection, to use what you have within you right now, as you are, perfectly imperfect, to find your way through motherhood. I'm Dr. Erin Bauer, clinical and perinatal psychologist, author of More Than a Healthy Baby, course creator, and mum of two. This is my second podcast. Welcome if you've followed me over from my birth trauma work. This current podcast offering is bite-sized, unfancy, and unplanned. A roadmap for finding your way back to self-compassion and how to replace numbing and escapism with true, meaningful fun. I talk about motherhood as an identity and an institution, perinatal mental health and patriarchy, parental burnout and numbing. The core message is to practice the question, I wonder. Instead of judging ourselves and engaging in comparisonitis, we simply ask ourselves, I wonder. I wonder. Welcome back to Mum As You Are. I'm calling this one Anxiety Tools to Steal from Your Kids, because some of the best anxiety management tools out there we sometimes associate with children. And I was a child therapist for a decent amount of my career, up until I had my own children, pretty much. I was always seeing child clients, and then it just got too hard to do the non-after school stuff, or rather to do the after school appointments and put energy into that. So I thought I'd share a small story about probably one of the last times I actually did see a child client, which was when I stupidly agreed to see a, how old was he? He was 10, in a practice I was working at, which was not particularly child-centered. So there were no toys. It was not very kid-friendly. I shared an office with a podiatrist and a women's health physio. I thought, in my defense, at 10, he might be okay with like a Minecraft book and some colored pencils, but man, that was a massive mistake. Who cares about Minecraft when there's a massage table that goes up and down? And then, you know, there's a cupboard full of like urine test strips and scalpels. Yeah, not my best work. But on that note, I think, you know, that room wasn't suitable for him at all. And we often say to kids, like, don't fidget, but fidgeting is actually pretty important. Movement helps get stress and cortisol through the body. Fidgeting is not just a nervous habit. If it's purposeful and it's mindful, as I said, it moves trauma. But stress has to go somewhere. And so even in offices where I had adults and kids, one of the delights is often seeing adults being brave enough to pick up some stuffed toys, to do some bracelet making, to pick up the crayons. I think those people could arguably have a better experience if you lean into it. Now that I do fully telehealth, there's not so many opportunities for that anymore, but something I'll often say to, I only work with grown-ups now, which makes me not really sound like a grown-up if I'm referring to other people as grown-ups, but I promise I'm relatively grown-up. But I will often say to people, particularly people who are doing trauma work like EMDR or something like that, to have a kit. Have some things to fidget with, like a stress toy, a, you know, squishy ball, you know, mints to chew on, things to smell, like things to do with your senses. Because sitting still with your hands in your lap is something we're trained to do, I suppose, but it's not actually very helpful for the therapy process necessarily. So, you know, I think fidgeting is important. Just make sure it's purposeful, not picking at your skin or something, but squeezing a stress toy, running your hands over a nice soft fabric, that kind of thing. My next one is to think about evoking a superhero type figure. Now, it might not be a superhero, but for children, when you're struggling with your confidence or feeling calm or feeling brave, often what we will do is help that child to channel someone else who does. So it will be reading them stories about superheroes, Wonder Woman, Batman, whatever, animals, you know, play therapy with, like, pretending that you're a lion, that kind of stuff. So we are immersing them in imaginal exposure based on play. So if you're not feeling strong, wise, confident, or any of those things, think about who you could bring to your mind's eye who does hold those qualities. A really simple exercise is to just sit in meditation. Meditation doesn't have to be anything than just closing your eyes for a minute and trying to imagine anything. See who comes to mind. If you're thinking of someone who's confident, who comes to mind? I don't know. It could be Wonder Woman. It could be Oprah. It could be a tiger. It could be Dumbledore. It could be anybody, a real person, an imagined person, or something you can't even quite describe. But what you want to do is sit and have that felt sense of how would they stand, how would they hold their body, what words would they use, what would they say. And you might have done this unintentionally. I know I have, and I think about the time I was birthing my second daughter, so the 5 kilo one with stuck shoulders, and I was fading, but somewhere in my imagination came the image of a Viking, and she poured all her energy into me and was strong and stoic. And when I felt like I no longer had control over my body and the procedures that were happening, I imagined 100 more Viking women, and they all kind of stood in a protective circle around me. And I feel almost a bit teary thinking about it now, because I don't exactly know how I did that. I could say to you that yes, my psychologist brain kicked in, but I was in deep trauma, so it did not. I actually think it came from my childhood imagination. So think about bringing to mind a character, an image, someone who holds the qualities that you're looking for, and just imagine as if. The second step for that can be, when you're imagining that figure in your mind, ask if they want to give you anything. Now, it might sound funny, but if you think about it, kids have worry dolls, they have wishing stones, they have all sorts of treasures they carry around with them in their pockets when they're anxious about going to school. We give them things to carry in their pockets, like love hearts and kisses on a post-it note and things like that. So even if you don't resonate with the idea of imagining a figure and giving you some sort of a token, maybe just choose something that you can use yourself to put in your pocket or sit on your desk, a polished river stone, a crystal, a feather, an acorn, like a figurine from your childhood. Just use your sense of touch to remind yourself that this will be your anchor. And every time you're feeling nervous, stressed, whatever it might be, that you'll take a deep breath, just touch the item and feel more settled. It's, you know, people have been doing this for generations. You think about, you know, like basket weaving as a activity that you do with your hands, or having a rosary, or whatever it might be. These are not new ideas. These are old as time, using physical touch and some sort of token to settle yourself and calm yourself. So something I came across the other day that might be helpful for some of you is, I was reading Gretchen Rubin's new book, which is Life and the Five Senses. And she talks about this product called Calm Strips. Not sponsored, I've never used them, don't really know that much about them. But I saw them and I thought they looked interesting. So they kind of look like a sensory toy in sticker form. So that might be something you want to look into. If you've got children in your life with sensory issues, because they've got bumpy ones, soft ones, whatever, and use them for focus. Like, you could just put them on the back of your phone or on your notebook or whatever. I'll put the link in the show notes. As I said, I've personally not used them. They just looked interesting, because I'm always interested in how do we add more of the five senses just into therapy work in general. And so that would be one way of meeting your touch requirements. Something to think about. See if you can add in something to your practice that you maybe thought, oh, that's maybe just for kids. It's not. Some of the most effective therapy tools take you out of your mind's eye and actually get you to do something with your hands. Talk to you next time.